Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Red Sox review here, WEEI, Christian Arcand with you. We'll go until 11, then Joe Wiles coming on from 11 until 12 to pitch that ninth inning. Unfortunately, the Red Sox going to have to put the champagne away for at least one more day, maybe permanently, as the Yankees rallied and score a 4-3 win at Yankee Stadium. Red Sox now on the ropes, and it's all coming down to tomorrow night. We don't know what time yet. Depends on what the Dodgers do, but at some point tomorrow night, these two teams will play a deciding Game 3, and I was feeling very confident going into this game. I thought the Red Sox had a real good chance against Carlos Rodon. I thought Brian Bello was going to be, as he usually is, very strong at Yankee Stadium, and none of those things happened. Bello was terrible. Bello really spat the bit here. And what's really worrisome about that is that Bello is really better against the Yankees than he is against any of the other teams, including the Blue Jays, that are still alive in the American League playoff picture, okay? The Yankees were the team that he kind of owns, or that he has owned up until these last two starts now, because that last start at Fenway from him was the hardest the Yankees have ever hit him, I think, in his career. And then, again, here you go tonight. That was just a soft, puffy performance there from Brian Bello, and the Red Sox needed better from him, and they're going to need better from him going forward. And I frankly am not sure if he can deliver it. I'm not sure if he can. I think Brian Bello may be fried from this season or something. I don't know exactly. But all of September, you saw the workings for this. You saw him start to unravel a little bit. You saw things go off the rails a bit for Brian Bello after a very strong July and a very strong August. And this was one of his worst starts he's ever had. I mean, really, it was not competitive, I didn't think. And that's a shame, because Bello needs to be able to go out there. You can't just have a one-man pitching rotation. It can't be Garrett Crochet and who the hell else? Connelly Early tomorrow? I mean, good luck with that. I don't think that that's a, you know, type of game that you look at and you think, oh, well, the Yankees are going to get him because of Cam Schlittler. I mean, he's not that great either. But the Red Sox are going to have to turn to an unproven, untested rookie here. And it's going to be, once again, all hands on deck, just like it was tonight. And I think the fact that it was so hardcore, all hands on deck tonight, could be a problem tomorrow. You had Garrett Whitlock out there for an inning and two-thirds. He threw 47 pitches. He's probably not available tonight, and he ran out of gas. He ran out of gas at the end of that one, too. He's the one who gave up that hit. Justin Slayton gave up one as well. He gave up one of those runs. And Bello really was the main guy. Justin Wilson, you got to give credit to. A nice inning and two-thirds. Steven Matz pitched out of trouble. And Peyton Tolley and Zach Kelly didn't do much. They both just got an out each. But that was the way this one went. And it was a lot of matchups, a lot of stuff like that. Rodon pitched fine. Six innings, three runs on four hits with three walks and six strikeouts. Red Sox did waste some opportunities. But there's a few, I think, points of this game that you look at and you just get kind of irate with the way things went. Jarren Duran, what are you doing out there? And what are you doing at the plate? You got to protect the play. I know that was high and inside, but that was stuck, caught a piece of the plate. You got to protect like that with two strikes. But that's not even the biggest issue here. The biggest issue was him not locked in, not focused on that fly ball. He has it in the glove. It pops out. You know, what are you supposed to say? I know we like Jarren Duran. He's a popular player, but that was an awful play. Oh, it was awful. He should have had that one. That should not have gone that way. And he's not really been contributing much at the plate lately either. For him tonight, you know, 1-for-3, but I don't know. I feel like with him in particular, this was supposed to be a very different season. And if we had gotten even a glimpse of the old Jaren Duran from the previous two seasons, then this whole year might have gone a little bit differently. It's not to say he had a bad year, but it was certainly a step back from the previous two, and that was a tough night for him tonight. Also a tough night for Sadon Rafaela, who I think we were all hoping was going to show some of those heroics, but after that bunt attempt, and that wasn't the only bad thing that happened that inning, but that bunt attempt was just brutal. I mean, you got to get that down. You're Sadon Rafaela. You were hitting 205 through August and September. You're not some big power hitter. It'd be nice if you were able to do that with any sort of regularity, sure. But that has not been the Brian Bello story this year, and that's just, I mean, that's just a fact. Not to pick on him or anything like that, but you have got to be able to lay that bunt down. Bunts the first one foul, he pops the next one right up, right to Cruz, who, by the way, I hate. Oh, do I hate Cruz. Calm down, guy. I hope so. I hope that they throw pitch him tomorrow. They probably won't because he's gone two straight games. But whenever a guy like that, you know who he reminded me of? He reminded me of Jabba Chamberlain, that fat slob. Jabba Chamberlain out there. Yeah, you know, and whatever. The Yankees, they deserve to be able to cheer and pump themselves up and all of that. But I'm still going to hate him. I still hate him. And the Red Sox needed to be better than that. Rafaela needed to get that bunt down. And Nick Sogard needed to score there. I'll admit, Jazz Chisholm made a great play to stop that ball. But on that throw, you're taking off from second already. You're already on the move. He was at third base by the time Chisholm touched it. And then he throws it away, and you don't make a break for home plate. Now, if Chisholm hadn't have made that play, then this wouldn't even be a topic that we're talking about. So the fact that he was even thinking about holding up at all is in some ways a testament to the defense there from Chisholm. But you still have got to get going. You have got to get on your horse, and that third base coach has got to wave him home. I thought that was a pretty big screw-up right there on a guy who was running from second base, and just sort of a series of those things. Not to mention Alex Cora, you've got to get Garrett Whitlock out of there sooner. All of those things, if any one of those things had gone differently, then you may be looking at a different outcome tonight. Any one of those multiple screw-ups. But when the Red Sox get sloppy, they get really sloppy, boy, they do. They shoot themselves in the foot a lot. That's been going on a lot this year. I've been here almost every single game, save for the weekends, and I have watched this team do that over and over and over again, and I was really hoping that those days might be behind us, especially against this Yankee team who shot themselves in the foot yesterday. They get runners on first and second, nobody out in the first. They load the bases in the ninth with nobody out and can't score a run either time like that. That, to me, is a team that was tight. That is a team that was in its own head. That's a team that's managed by Aaron Boone, who was making all sorts of dumb mistakes all season long, and certainly last night in that game. And you let them off the hook. Red Sox let them off the hook, and if they lose tomorrow, they got no one to blame but themselves. Bello had to be better. Cora had to be better. Duran had to be better. Rafaela had to be better. You know, I'll give Nick Sogard a little bit of a break just because it's his second-ever playoff game, and he's only been here for a couple of weeks. But, you know, you got to know the situation. You got to be able to head there. And if you want to give him a break, then throw the blame there on the third base coach, whose name escapes me at the moment. I know we had the other thing about him earlier this year. And it's something I probably should have looked up here. But either way, that is neither here nor there. And frankly, I don't really care. But I am annoyed. I'm annoyed. You should be annoyed too. Kyle Hudson, thank you very much, Thomas. Kyle Hudson. I knew it was something Hudson. I couldn't remember the first name. And Kyle Hudson has to be able to send him there. It seemed like an obvious. You're running on second base. You're running from second. In motion. You're at third base when he touches the ball. He throws the first base, ball skids away, and you don't score there. It doesn't mean they would have won the game. You know, it doesn't mean that necessarily would have won them the game right then and there. Most would have tied it. But that was still very frustrating. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We will hear from Alex Cora in just a moment. As a matter of fact, let's hear from Cora right now. Do we have Cora already? Thomas, let's go ahead and how long is he? Is it long enough that we can get to this and still hit the 41 break? All right, let's do that. Here's manager Alex Cora after the Red Sox blow it in New York 4-3.
Tough lineup. You know, a bunch of lefties. I thought the at-bats were getting better, you know, with the lefties, and we got a bunch of them in the bullpen, you know, and felt like at that point, kind of like, we have to do this. It doesn't feel good, you know, because you want the kid to go out there and get his experience and pitch, you know, deep into the game, but I felt like at that moment we needed to pivot.
And that was a lot of pitches for Whitlock. Was that more than you intended to use him necessarily?
Yeah, but at that point we're all in, right? He's one of our best pitchers, you know. He just got up there, but we were doing everything possible to get to the, you know, to the top of the ninth with a tie game.
Chris, in the third row on the right. with Brian, is that something you talked to him about before the game, that you can, you know, any sort of warning, it could be shorter?
No.
And how do you think he took it in the moment?
In the moment, frustrating, I bet. But then I talked to him, hey, you just got to be ready for the next one. There's October baseball, there's different.
Okay. New hit, Jen, on the left.
Just with Whitlock there, I think that the most pitches he's thrown all year. And I know you kind of were relying on him a lot there, but what did you kind of see in those final batters there?
They put good at bats, the walk to Jazz. I don't know where that pitch was. And then Wells put a good at bat, just hit it down the line, you know, and that happened. But, it's one of those that at that point, we're trying to win that game, you know, and it didn't happen.
Are you going to go in the back to Duke?
Alex, on the broadcast, they seem to think that Nate could have scored when the ball gets away from Rice. What did you think?
That's their opinion, you know. I think it's easy from up there say that he should could have scored. You know, they're not down there with us.
Yeah. On the left, Gabe.
Alex, what's your pitching plan for tomorrow?
Connolly's going to start. Yeah.
And how do you feel the bullpen will be tomorrow with regard to guys like Garrett?
We'll check with Witt, right? Get a lot of treatment and see where we at tomorrow. But the rest, they're in good shape.
You had Chapman warming up a couple times there in the seventh and eighth. Where did you envision bringing him in?
In the seventh, that's part of his routine.
Okay.
So he wasn't warming up. In the eighth, he was either up in the ninth or not bring him at all, you know. But that's part of his routine.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Hey, Bill, here on the right.
How key was the defensive stop by Jazz Chisholm?
He saved two runs because JD scores on that one.
Yeah.
Great play.
Go ahead.
I mean, he hit it. I thought it went through, and then he dove for it. Yeah.
Okay, going to go here on the left, Ian.
Alex, just a couple plays. Sadow not being able to get the bunt down. Was he bunting on his own there?
We'll keep that one, you know, as a decision for the team. I don't want to tip my hand to them.
And also the fly ball Judge hit. It looked, at least off the bat, like kind of a routine play. What did you see with Jaron there?
I didn't have a good angle, but, you know, if you asked him, you know, I saw the replay afterwards. He just missed it.
Behind you, Pete. You good, Pete? Okay. One more hearing.
Just with early pitching, you know, how obviously a big spot for a 23-year-old. You know, what has he shown you this season?
His voice throughout, very calm. Obviously, he's going to be loud here. Two rookies, game three, wild card, Yankees, Red Sox. Imagine that. So, should be a fun night.
Okay, that was Alex Cora, post-game, giving you a little bit of insight into what's going on with the plan for Game 3. Sounds like Connolly Early's going to start, and every reliever other than Garrett Whitlock's going to be available. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a moment at 617-779-7937. This is Red Sox Review. I'm Christian Arcan. We'll be right back with your phones after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I thought maybe that was going out, Rafaela, at the end there. It's Yankee Stadium. You don't have to hit it that far. But unfortunately, Aaron Judge able to get under that one. And we got a game three, folks. I was hoping it'd be a nice, easy two-game sweep. That the Yankees would be so in their own heads and so tight that the Red Sox would be able to just waltz in there. And I thought they were going to put up a lot of runs on Rodon. The fact that they didn't, I think, was a big miss. big wasted opportunity. Rodon wasn't that good. He didn't have his best stuff. He wasn't throwing 98, 99. He was in the low 90s, low to mid-90s with his fastball. He was getting them off speed. He was getting them uncomfortable. Red Sox were just not there. I mean, they just weren't there tonight. That's really what it comes down to. Nobody except Trevor Story. Trevor Story deserves a ton of credit. All three of those runs batted in were from him, and he deserves all the credit in the world tonight, as do some guys in that bullpen. But you want to blame someone tonight? I got three names. Brian Baio, number one with a bullet. Alex Cora right behind him. And I'd say Jaron Duran and the combination of Kyle Hudson and Eaton there. I mean, that really was unfortunate. You know, you got to be able to execute at least one of those. And unfortunately, it all just kind of fell apart. And Cora for leaving in Whitlock too long. I mean, that was getting pretty obvious by the end there. And I said before the series, I thought Whitlock could be a weapon for them throughout the playoffs. I thought his ability to go more than one inning and to be able to pitch more than one game in a row and just be a weapon out of that bullpen, I thought was going to be big for them. And in his first opportunity to go more than one inning, which maybe was, you know, me being a little bit more optimistic than I should have been, he did not last. And after throwing 47 pitches, you're not going to see him tomorrow, I don't think. You just heard from Alex Cora there. He said Early's going to start tomorrow. Everybody out of the bullpen's fine except for Garrett. That's what he said. And I think that means Whitlock you will not see tomorrow unless it is the most dire of circumstances. And hopefully it doesn't come to that. But you know what? It's Connelly early getting the start. This is what happens. Giolito's done for the year. He's not walking through that door, fans. You got Connelly early. You got Kyle Harrison, maybe. And you got every pitcher in that bullpen for as long as they can pitch. And you're going to have to do something there against Schlittler. You're going to have to do something you weren't able to do tonight against the guy in Rodon, who, yes, in the regular season is a horse, and he's great, and he's a strong lefty and one of the top lefties in the game. Fine. All that's true. In the playoffs and against the Red Sox, he's neither one of those things. In the playoffs, he's ordinary. He was ordinary last year. He was ordinary tonight. And he's not good against the Red Sox. The Red Sox see him well, and they hit him well. Rob Refsnyder has not been hitting the ball well against lefties for a while now. Unfortunate, because that's his main objective. Romy Gonzalez, another one, you know. It's just, he's been great. Romy Gonzalez has played his way into being a core player on this team. But these guys have got to be able to connect against these lefties. That's their main thing. That's what they're here for. That's why they're taking at bats away from these other guys. And that didn't happen tonight. 617-779-7937. I thought that at bat by Duran at the end of the game was a good at bat. He was down and he held up on a couple of tough pitches there. And then I thought he'd be protecting the plate on something up and high and tight like that. He jumped back. It did catch a tiny little fraction of a piece of the edge of that strike zone, at least according to the ESPN strike zone. And that's up to the umpire, you know, and it's just when it just catches a little piece and the umpire calls it a ball or a strike, you got to just go with it. Yeah, that was an obvious one. It's not an obvious one. That was right on the edge of the strike zone. He called it a strike. And frankly, I think that Duran should have been trying to protect the plate a little bit more than that. But even if he did, who's to say he's going to get a hit there or what's going to happen? But that's just another unfortunate byproduct of this game. And it ended up being a pretty serious kick in the junk kind of loss, too. You know, like I could deal with a lot, but they had a lot of chances in this game. They had a lot of chances and made a lot of stupid mistakes. And really, it just, to me, comes back down to Brian Baio. You've got to be more competitive than that. You have got to have more guts than that. I just, you know, that was a weak performance by him and a very, very forgettable one. And if the Red Sox go down tomorrow, I think we're all going to look at Brian Baio and say, hey, you're supposed to be the number two starter. What happened? You gave us not even three innings? Couldn't even give us three innings in a playoff game, you know, for a guy who was supposed to be a big-time pitcher and a big-game pitcher. That is not what you got tonight. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go ahead and go to the phones here, as I know a lot of you are waiting patiently to sound off on this one. We will hear from Jaron Duran in a few minutes as well. He spoke to the media, as well as, I don't know if we have Bayo or not, but we'll see if we do. Let's go ahead and start off with Casper and Worcester, our leadoff hitter. Go ahead, Casper.
Christian, everything you said was true. It was pretty much an ugly game. I want you to know that you gave a ray of light of humor at the end when you referenced Xavier Chamberlain. If you can remember, and hopefully the rest of the Sox fans remember this, when the insects attacked him
in Cleveland,
the
I remember
game,
that. Yeah.
It was hilarious. It's
that
the only
funny
thing that can make me smile tonight.
Yeah.
So with that said, let's hope Connor is very regimented and he can go 5 or 6 tomorrow. So we're still in it. But thank God you said Chamberlain, because that's the only thing I could laugh at.
Thank you, Casper. And yes, appreciate it. What Casper's referring to, by the way, is something that happened right around this time of year about 20 years ago. It was 2007, I think, in the playoffs, Yankees and at the time the Cleveland Indians, and they were in Cleveland, and that stadium is right by a lake. And there was an invasion of an insect called the midge. I'm not kidding. It was the midget. There was a swarm of midges. And they swarmed Jabba Chamberlain, who was kind of this fat pitcher anyway. You know, he got kind of this fat face. He wasn't fat, obviously. He was a professional athlete. But you know what I mean? He was baseball fat. And these bugs would not leave him alone. They were in his eyeball. They were up his nose. They were in his ears. They had to come out with bug spray and spray it on him right in the middle of the game. That is who Fernando Cruz reminded me of, by the way. That's why I'm bringing this up in the first place. It just reminded me of that. You know, all the big time gesticulating and all of that. And Fernando Cruz, listen, he deserves to. He pitched very well tonight. And that is a Yankee bullpen that needed someone to step up. And he did it. So when you step up and you come through, you get to dance and yell and scream and fist pump and do all that stuff. Red Sox should be doing it right now, but they didn't. The Yankees did, Cruz did, and now we got a game three. 617-779-7937. Let's try Johnny in Brooklyn. Go ahead, Johnny.
Arcan, thanks for taking the call. Yeah, Chamberlain was never the same after that. That is a nice memory.
Yeah.
I hate Cruz. I hate the Yankees. I hate the organization. I hate their fans. And so to have a series against them, you know, it's always scary because when you win, it's amazing. But when you lose, it's just the worst thing ever. Didn't play well enough to win tonight, that's for sure. I do want to give a quick, all right, Tully, to my guy Tully, who came out and got it done in a high-pressure situation. I believe in him tomorrow, too. He comes back out. But, yeah, and I wanted to say Cora, I think, you know, for the most part, managed the pitching well. I mean, they all performed for him except for Whitlock in the very end there. But, what do you think of Abreu not getting more bats? Do you feel like that's a good thing? Where are you at with what he's doing with the lineup? The pitching's working, the lineup, I don't know. What do you think, man?
Yeah, that's a good point. And I saw people complaining about Abreu not getting put in for defense late in the game, which I think made some sense at the time, just based on who the Yankees still had in their bullpen. If Abreu would come on and pinch hit in the eighth inning, I want to say, who was up in the eighth inning? Maybe it was the seventh inning. I can't remember exactly when that would have made sense for Sogard. I forget exactly the way it went, but I'll go back and check. Either way, I saw people saying, well, why don't you bring in Abreu to hit there, or at the very least bring him on for defense? And the reason why is because if they bring in a lefty pitcher, then you got Abreu and Duran back to back in the lineup there, and potentially a big spot. And they didn't want to have that. And again, I mean, this all sort of comes back down to the fundamental question of when do you toss the book aside and sort of look at what you got out there and decide this is the way we're going to go about it. I'm not saying that was necessarily the right move there, to put in Abreu earlier than that for his glove, although, you know, he could have used that glove in left field, I guess, but that's not where he plays, so what are you going to do? And he hasn't really hit the ball well since he's come back from his injury. Willier Abreu has taken a while to come back, and that's too bad. I was really hoping that he'd be back and contributing by now and back into sort of a normal groove and the power-hitting threat on this team that they need him to be, and so far he hasn't been that. So, listen, I would like Abreu to contribute more. I think we all would. But that injury was more serious than we all thought. And it took him a lot longer to come back than we were expecting, than Alex Cora was expecting, than anyone was expecting. But he did come back, okay? You know, Giolito's not coming back. Roman Anthony, I don't think, is coming back. You know, you got guys who are just done. And he made it back, and hopefully he can make an impact. You know, Masataka Yoshida was injured and missed a bunch of the year. He came back and played. He was terrible. And then down the stretch in September, he suddenly got hot, and now he's one of the most important guys in this roster. And thank God that they have a righty going tomorrow, and Yoshida can be their batting cleanup, because they need him. They need him up there giving quality at-bats, driving in runs, etc., getting on base. This offense should have done more than what they did tonight against Rodon. Rodon was not that sharp. He was fine, but he wasn't exactly out there lighting up the radar gun. And when he lost it, he lost it. He was walking people, giving up hits. I wasn't super impressed by him. And I thought the Red Sox gave away a lot of at-bats, which is, again, a problem that I was really hoping not to see rear its head tonight against a guy like Rodon with that lefty on the mound. And generally, the way I said this before the game, the Red Sox, when they have their lineup against left, awesome. That's probably the reason. But Max Fried shuts them down almost against every other lefty, including Rodon, who they have mashed against this year. that lineup produces. And tonight you just didn't see that. And what a bad time for that to happen. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We're going to take a quick break. We'll get back to your phone calls. Do we have Bayo, Thomas? Do we have Brian Bayo?
He's going right now, so if you give me like 10 minutes, I can grab
Okay, we got Brian Bayo speaking right now. We have sound from Jaren Duran. We will go more into the locker room, and we will continue with your phone calls. Again, it's 617-779-7937. This is Red Sox Review on your flagship home for Red Sox baseball, WEEI. That's Ben Rice, pride of Nobles and Green. I went to BB&N, so no love for Nobles. No offense. My coach used to say, I don't like beating Nobles. I like beating the hell out of Nobles. This is the way I feel about the Yankees. And I know there's probably people who went to Nobles listening. I'm sorry. It's not for you right now. That was your alumnus hitting that home run, all right? Not mine. So, you know, that's you get a little shrapnel. You get a little stray. That's the way it works. Connelly Earley is going to be pitching for the Red Sox tomorrow. Brian Bayo pitched tonight. And I can only hope that Connelly Earley gives him something, because Bayo gave him nothing tonight. That home run there was part of an early warning sign. And you heard it. I mean, you could hear Lou, Will, and Brooksy all saying the same thing. He's not got it tonight. He just doesn't have it. He is pulling his sinker. He's, the cutter's hanging up there. He hung a cutter to Aaron Judge that he is lucky Judge didn't just pummel. He sat there and looked at it. It was right over the plate. Bellinger got him with the sinker and then hung one of those, singled right to right field, and then there you just heard Ben Rice with that two-run jack on the first pitch, a cutter right center in, and he popped that one right over the fence, 364 feet. It seemed like it wasn't that much of a home run. The replay, I watched it was going. I was like, that could get out. But then you saw how far back it went. It was like five, ten rows back. That was a Yankee Stadium home run. That's the way it works, all right? You know, Red Sox, we got a cheap little field, too. You can't get all high and mighty about that. You got to hit some of those, too. And they weren't able to do that, except for Trevor Story. And Trevor Story had an RBI single in the third inning after Jaren Duran singled. Sedan drew a walk. Nick Sogard then laid down a nice bunt and got the first on a throwing error by Rodon. And then Ref Snyder struck out. Story singled home Duran and Rafaela. And then Bregman grounded into a double play, which ended that rally. But thank God for Trevor Story. He was the only one who really came through tonight. And he deserves some props. The rest of this team, you know, that was a blown opportunity. That was a missed opportunity that they had tonight. They had a chance to make this thing go away. And they gave away a ton of outs. They made bad mistakes. Alex Cora stayed too long with Garrett Whitlock when it was clear he didn't have it. You know, it was a lot of that type of stuff. And it's very hard for the Red Sox to win games when they have those type of factors working against them. One thing you can say, aside from the Duran play, I guess that one sort of supersedes it all, but not a whole lot of big-time mistakes, throwing errors, you know, the fielding errors, things like that. Duran did drop that ball, but you had that. And then the play at third base with Eaton and Kyle Hudson, the third base coach. I'm starting to soften my stance on that a little bit, just a little bit, because if that was a good throw from Chisholm to first base and Eaton had tried to go home, he's probably out by, you know, 3-4 feet. But it wasn't. And I don't know when you make that decision, when you decide you're going to go, but, you know, he was at third base before that ball was in the air. And I think you saw that thing hit the ground. You go, you know, I don't know. But I am starting to soften on it a little bit. There were other more egregious mistakes that were made in this game. And, again, it all starts with Brian Bayo. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We will hear from Brian Bayo in just a moment. He spoke to the media after the game. So let's go ahead and get back to the phones. We'll talk to Ron in Worcester. Go ahead, Ron.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Ron?
All right, here's the thing. I want Alex to throw away that pitch count, pork one. The West Point kid's pitching tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Leave him alone. If he's pitching all good, leave him alone. I don't care if he pitches 1,000 innings, 1,000 pitches.
Yep.
He's pitching.
You just
want to
leave him out
there.
They
yanked
him
twice when he had 2 shutouts going. And then
yeah, that's
bring
true.
Chaps in, and then it'll mm-hmm. be over. They'll win. He's the salvation of this team. They will win the World Series because of him and Crochet.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Ron. Appreciate it.
The guy is drunk.
Hey, listen. I don't know that for sure. But I understand what he means. I think that with Connelly Earley, you have a short leash with him. I think you have a short leash with Connolly early tomorrow, about as short as it was tonight with Brian Bale. Hopefully not for the same reasons, okay? I'm not saying you pull him in the second inning for no reason, the third inning. But, you know, you talk about those games. He was very, very good against the A's in those two starts. He was not very good against Tampa. He was better against Detroit. That game didn't count. Tigers, you know, like, it counted for the Tigers, I guess. But, you know, and he did strike some guys out, but Detroit had been really spiraling out of control by then. Must-win game for them. So, yeah, I guess you could say that one counted a little bit more. I didn't love how he looked in that Tampa game. And more importantly, he's only made four starts in his career. And I think that he's shown some real ability in those starts, all right? I think I've seen some things, we've all seen some things that we all really liked, especially in those first two against the A's. He looked like he could potentially be dominant out there. But you know what? So did Peyton Tolley in his first start. And Peyton Tolley, who, thank God, he was able to come in and get that out, you know, but that's what he's relegated to now, you know? He's not in there in big-time, high-leverage situations protecting a lead. He was out there to make sure it didn't get worse, I suppose. And he got that one out, but that's where he is now. And this was supposed to be like a dominant part, not dominant, but definitely a part of the rotation that you were going to be counting on here and everyone was excited about. We were excited about early like that, too. I think you can even look at Kyle Harrison and his starts down the stretch. Both pretty good. And feel okay about that, too. But that's just it. I can't feel any more than okay about it because of how unproven those two guys are. Those three guys are, if you want to throw Tolley in the mix, too. And you might have to. Everybody's in the mix. The whole team's in the mix. That entire bullpen is in the mix for this game tomorrow. You got a kitchen sink type of game coming up here. And listen, Ron, I hope you're right, and I hope Connolly Early goes out there and shoves, and that he is awesome, and that the Yankees don't know what to make of him, and that they can't play any runs on him. I hope all that's true, and that they leave him out there for eight. I hope he pitches a complete game shutout, okay? That would be swell. But realistically, I think you're probably, if you're Alex Cora, you're hoping for four good innings, four and, you know, two-thirds good innings from Early, and then you're going to that pen. And you're going to that pen and you're sticking with it. And I hope he's able to notice and observe when his guy, even if it's someone who's been awesome for him this year like Garrett Whitlock, just doesn't have it anymore. I hope he's a little bit quicker on the hook. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's try Ryan in New Jersey. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, thanks for the call. So Bale, I've never been a fan. I think there's all kinds of warning signs about that dude. He never shows up and pitches in the first inning. I don't know what the issue is, but if you don't know at this point that it's not June 15th and you don't have time to get your legs under you, I don't want you on the mound. So that's the first thing. The other one was, it occurred to me that Cora managed that game like an elimination game. I don't know if I've ever seen a playoff game where you're actually up 1-0, where the manager basically pulls all the stops out and goes that route. So I think he knows that this team is out of runway. It's duct taped and chewing gum together at this point. They've got some mistakes on their part, some bad luck injuries, whatever you want to call it, but they don't have a lot left in the tank. And Lou said something, the last thing, Lou said something when Rafaela was tossing the bat 5 feet off the plate in an attempt to bunt that I thought was dead on. As he said, you know, you don't do this in baseball. They don't play it this way. And I'm thinking of all those extra inning games that they gave up. Would they lose about 10 on the road because the analytics said not to bunt, you know, in the 10th inning or whatever. They never tried it. They don't do it. So Lou said you play 162 games not playing that way, and then you expect them to play proper baseball and switch it on in the playoffs. And he was dead on, because if you're not going to do it, Cora after the game saying that wasn't his call is ridiculous. He's trying to leave because he's literally tossing the bat at the ball. Of course they told him to bunt, and he can't do it because the guy swings at everything. So
it's true.
It was just, I mean, that's a pretty funny excuse. Anyway, we'll see what happens, but if it's the end, you know, you got to move forward. I don't know what to say. So
thanks for the call, Ryan. Appreciate it. Thanks for checking in behind enemy lines down there in New Jersey. We appreciate it. Getting a lot of calls from the tri-state area these last two nights. As I feel as though, you know, it's a safe place for Yankee fans and Red Sox fans alike. Yankee fans, you want to call in and gloat? I was cranking Frank Sinatra last night. So listen, you know, I'm sure there's Yankee fans listening to us, just like we were listening to the fan last night, you know, and wallowing in the misery. I'm not miserable tonight. I don't feel miserable. I don't feel like the Yankees are definitely going to win tomorrow. The Red Sox have no chance. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that Cam Schlittler is some great starter. And I think that the Red Sox, with their normal lineup in and their hot hitters, the cleanup spot, Yoshida, et cetera, going up against the righty, I think is going to make a big difference. Because that tonight, I don't know. I don't have a ton of confidence right now in the lefty killers anymore. Ref Snyder and Romy and all those guys, it seems like it's been a while since they've really gone out there and done some damage against the good lefty. And right now, I mean, listen, it's the playoffs. You're getting all good righties and lefties for the most part. Unless you get Toronto next round, then you got one good righty, and then after that, who the hell knows? Max Scherzer? You know, I mean, that's the thing. I want to get to this next round, but the Red Sox, you know, with no Giolito and having to patch the back end of that rotation together, it's going to be tough, and you're already seeing it become tough right now before you even get to that next round. This is three games, you know, three games max that you're playing in this series, and they're already panicking a little bit at the back end of that rotation, and that's what happens when you don't go out at the deadline. 617-77.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
797-9937 is your phone number. We got room for you here. Two open phone lines. Go ahead and grab them, as I doubt we'll have a lot of open phone lines later on for the rest of the evening. We will hear from Brian Baio. That's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. This is Red Sox Review here on WEEI. Don't want to be all negative tonight. Trevor Story deserves a lot of love. He does. He had whatever Alex Bregman had. They were both sick this week. And Story, you didn't even know about it with Story until today when he mentioned it. He's like, yeah, I had whatever Bregman had. Wasn't feeling great yesterday, but, you know, I'm feeling better today. He goes out there, hits a home run you just heard there, had an RBI single, two-run single in the third that tied the game up when the Red Sox were in the hole there. He showed up for them. He showed up for them tonight, and he made an impact. Red Sox have got to be able to rely on more than one guy. You know, that's just that's that simple. You can't just put it all on one guy. And for various points over the course of this year, that's what this offense has been about. You don't win like that. You just don't. Early on in the year, first of all, it was Christian Campbell. Remember that? Remember those first couple of weeks where Christian Campbell was the entire offense, him and Willier Abreu? And then Campbell fell off. Abreu fell off. Bregman started carrying the entire offense by himself. A little bit later on, it was Roman Anthony carrying the offense by himself. You know what I mean? It's been like one guy over the course of it. Devers at one point was carrying the offense when he was right early on in the year before they traded him away. Like, that's the way it's been going for the most part. You've had one or two, maybe two guys hot at the same time, and that's been enough to get you to this point. I wouldn't say that it's a great trend or a great pattern or anything like that, but when the pitching's good enough, sometimes you only need one guy producing. Pitching wasn't good enough tonight. Bale wasn't good enough. The bullpen was not terrible, but not good enough. And the offense certainly wasn't good enough. Jaron Duran, who did get a hit tonight, but also had a very, very bad error. It's not ruled an error. It was a misplay, I guess I'll call it, out there in left field on a line drive that was in his glove and bounced out. He spoke to the media after the game, and here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, I was just playing pretty deep on Judge. And as I was coming in, I thought it was hit a little harder than it was. And then I kind of gained more ground than I thought. I didn't really have to go into a full dive there and kind of just push the ball on myself a little more and kind of got really up on me, but, you know, it's on me.
How much is that, though? You know, Jaron, you bounce back and things like this all the time. Just kind of baseball and put it behind you, move on, and get ready for game three.
Yeah, I mean, this one's going to sting a little bit. I mean, I know that game is 100% on me. If I make that play, Trevor hits the homer, we take the lead. But, you know, I messed it up, gave them momentum, and then, you know, things just happen from there, but, you know, that one's on me. I'm going to have to wear that one.
But how confident are you that you guys bounce back as a group? Game three, you know, you guys have been here all year long battling. Just your thoughts on the mentality of what you guys will do in that game three.
Yeah, I mean, I have complete confidence in this team. I mean, we've been through stuff like this before, and we've been resilient all year, so I'm excited to see what we can do tomorrow.
What do you do individually to turn the page?
I don't know. You know, I'll think about it tonight and just kind of get over it.
How much you look forward to just getting back out there tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to play tomorrow and redeem myself.
How big is it when, you know, Trevor immediately homers there and, you know, it's a new ball game at that point?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good feeling, but, you know, deep down, I know that we could have had the lead right there. So, you know, that one stings a little bit, and I can already feel it, and just disappointed. You know, that one's on me.
What have you seen from Connolly early here in this clubhouse so far, and how confident are you in him taking the ball in game three?
I mean, he reminds me a lot of Roman. I mean, they're so young, but they're so, like, calm, cool, and collective, and it's awesome to see that. I can't wait to see him get on the mound tomorrow and see that big smile he always has when he's competing.
That was Jaren Duran taking full responsibility for that play in the bottom of the fifth inning. It was Volpe flying out. It was Justin Slayton on the mound. Got the first two outs. Grisham then walked, got to second on a wild pitch. And then Aaron Judge with a line drive to left field. Duran was under it. He got his glove on it, bounced out of the glove, and that was that. Grisham scores. It's 3-2. Story did tie it up right there in the next inning, but as we all know, in the bottom of the eighth, it was Austin Wells with the RBI single off a tiring Garrett Whitlock, and that was all she wrote. Red Sox unable to get anything going against Bednar. Rafaela's fly out to right field just comes up a bit short. Struck out Abreu, struck out Duran, and that was all she wrote. Yankees take this one 4-3. And maybe it's just because I'm how I am. Maybe it's just because of me and my personality. I don't know. But when I heard Brooksy and Fleming and Lou and all them at the end being like, yeah, you know, game three, it's really what it's all supposed to be about, I was like, no, it's not. It's not supposed to be about that. And here's why. Here's why I don't buy into that. I mean, listen, it's game three. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be great ratings for us here at the radio station. I'm happy about all that, of course. Don't get me wrong. But in terms of as a Red Sox fan, the reason why I don't like that is because now the pressure is shifted. Okay, the pressure is now shifted to the team that is full of players that have never played in the playoffs before, okay, and have not faced elimination. Facing elimination is a lot different from playing game one, and these Yankees have faced elimination more times certainly than the Red Sox have, okay, and they did get eliminated. They lost in the World Series last year, but they got there. They got through all those rounds, and they got to the World Series, and you don't just do that and not learn any lessons from it. They've learned those lessons. They've been in those games. They've been in elimination games before with their backs against the wall, and you saw that a little bit tonight. They came through when they needed to. Rodon came through when he needed to. Aaron Boone, as much as I hate to say it, came through when he needed to here for this team tonight. Meanwhile, Alex Cora left his guy in too long, and that's a fact. I mean, you can't deny that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll hear from Brian Bayo as well in just a moment, but we got full phone lines, so let's get to him, starting with Phil in the little town of Mendon. What's up, Phil?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Very disappointed. First off, it's kind of funny. The New York rivalry also goes to management. They wouldn't allow people from New England except Connecticut and New York to purchase tickets. Did you see that article?
Yeah, well, I did. And I've been mocking them for the last 72 hours because of that.
Unbelievable. Yeah, incredible. The other thing is, again, we're good enough to lose. Duran catches that ball. Chisholm, the second baseman for New York, if it gets by, we have two runs there. Kyle Hudson, very bad play, the third baseman. That's his job. Should have scored Eaton. So we should have won, technically. We could have won by at least 1 to 2 runs. I mean, we're shooting ourselves in the foot. Very disappointed. And I don't want to hop on this, but, you know, we're the only one. We go dumpster diving again at the trade deadline. Everybody else ahead of us improved their teams. And, you know, it's just a full disappointing. You know, we could have been there, but injuries too. But we'll see what happens. And then tomorrow's a big game. We'll see what the rookie can do, you know?
Yep. Thanks for the call, Phil. Appreciate it. Thanks for checking in. And you're right about the other teams at the deadline. And I'm not going to make this a referendum on the deadline again. I think I've done plenty of that over the course of the season. But David Bednar, the Yankees closer, they got him for nothing, okay? closers, relievers were going for nothing at the deadline this year, and you picked up Steven Matz, who has contributed. It's not like he's done zero for you, but there were other deals to be made out there. And with the pitching staff and the current situation that it's in, and how it didn't take much for this situation to get to where it is right now, a couple of injuries. I mean, that's really all it was. And all of a sudden, you are a two-man rotation with a considerably shallower bullpen than you want to have. And that sucks. I mean, that sucks. And as for the Yankees, only selling their tickets to people from the tri-state area, and also, did I see, and also from Pennsylvania? I know there's a lot of Yankee fans in, like, South Philly, you know, like, right on the New Jersey line there. They're all kind of, they consider themselves part of the tri-state, I guess. I don't know. What do I know about that part of the world? But I will say this. One of the softest, weakest things, terry cloth soft, that I've ever seen. And part of me, in some weird way, I don't want to say respects it, but understands that the Red Sox would never do that. And not for the reasons that you would think. Not because they're so tough and we're not afraid of any other fans. The Red Sox would never do that because they would never block off purposefully a revenue stream. They just wouldn't do it. There's no reason to be like, why would we do that? What do we care what fans are there? So long as they're paying and drinking the beer and eating the hot dog, what do we care what what hat they're wearing? We don't care about that. You know I'm right, okay? Red Sox would never in a million years do that. Block off states from buying tickets? Of course not. They want everyone to come back and come to Fenway and fall in love with it and come back every summer for the rest of their lives. That's what the Red Sox want. They don't care if it's the playoffs. They don't care if it's game one of 162. It doesn't matter. We want you coming through that turnstile. We want you buying stuff, all right? The Yankees, at the very least, were like, no, we don't want any other fans outside of here, which, by the way, I do think is soft, but at the very least, I kind of get it. I kind of get it in a way that makes them look a little bit less, I don't know, come one, come all than the Red Sox are, you know? Like, that's sort of how I feel about that. So I'm torn on it a little bit. I think it's very soft, but I also get it. And part of why I get it is because I know the Red Sox would never do it, right? And not for any tough guy reasons, just for, you know, purely revenue stream reasons and saving money or getting more money that they can then save on Rafael Devers and his contract. Not that I'm still mad about that. Speaking of the Nate Eaton play and Kyle Hudson over at third base, Eaton spoke after the game. Rob Bradford transcribed this, talking about holding up at third base on the ball that got away from Rice over at first. He said, obviously, this is Nate Eaton, obviously it was a big play. We didn't score. I obviously couldn't see it as I'm getting to third. I got told to stop, and then I couldn't see how far the ball away was, how far the ball was away when it got by Rice. Oof. If I'm Kyle Hudson, I am under that bus right now, boy. Hey, I couldn't see it. What do you want from me? I was sliding into third, and I got told to stop, and I was just following orders. You got a problem? You talk to Hudson over there. He's the one who told me to stop, all right? Not, I need to be aware of where the ball is. I couldn't tell. I just, you know, I need to be better. I need to be this. I need to be that. No, no, no. I got told to stop, and I couldn't see where the ball was. So get out of my face. Like, don't hassle me, man. All right. I had nothing to do with it. I was just the guy running the bases. That was tough. But listen, it's not like he's wrong. You know? It's not like he's wrong. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Mike in Chicopee. Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike. All right, Mike, we're going to put you on hold. Got to be ready. Let's go to Matt in Winthrop. Hey, Matt.
Christian.
Yo.
Yeah, so Bregman leads off the eighth with a single to the left. Mm-hmm. The game's tied 3-3. Am I wrong, or is Hamilton on the bench or not?
Hamilton was on the bench, yes.
Yes. Why are we not pinch running there? This is the go-ahead run, eighth inning. Bregman's—he can't run right now. He can't run as well as he used to. And then it, we end
you
up
take,
into
you want to take his glove out of the field and potentially his bat out of the lineup in a tie game, though? That's the other thing. Because if it's a tie game and it stays a tie game, you got Hamilton out there in key at bats potentially instead of Bregman.
Yeah, but Hamilton sometimes actually comes through with big hits.
Sometimes, I mean, how often does he do that?
The point is, I just think you got to try to score that run. And
I mean,
they
listen,
end up hitting
right into
a double play.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't know. I know it's Monday morning quarterbacking, but
Also, that double play, too. I mean, I thought that was a pretty routine double play, even if Hamilton was out there, unless he's off with the pitch. Like, I think that's probably a double play that gets turned even if he wasn't out there.
If you're putting Hamilton in, you got to have him run. You got to have him try to steal second base.
Sure. But it was the fifth pitch of the at-bat. You don't know which, you know what I mean? Like, it's just you don't know which who's doing what, if they throw over, what they're doing. They may have gone about that entire at-bat very differently. Who knows? But I'm just saying, like, that particular grounder, that was a pretty routine double play either way. And, I guess it would have been nice. But, you know, it didn't end up going anywhere anyway. Thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it. Or Matt, I should say. Let's go to another Mike, this one in Buffalo. Hey, Mike.
Okay, glad I got you.
Yes.
I thought with Rafaela bunting, I thought that was very stupid. He probably hasn't bunted all year, and I don't understand why they would have him bunting. To me, that's absolutely stupid, because I mean the guy probably hasn't bunted all year, and I just don't get some of the things that they do. You know what I'm trying to say? And that to me was dumb. Just took the bat right out of his hand, and he can't bunt anyway because he hasn't bunted all year. So Alex Cora at times to me is not good. That's all I got to say, Christian.
All right, thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it. It's weird. Now I'm hearing the old timey bunt brigade call in and say they shouldn't be bunting because they don't know how to bunt. He's right. Rafael had no idea what he was doing out there. Fouled one off, and then popped the next one right there, right into Cruz's waiting glove. Just boop, right there. Thanks. I remember there was back in like 09, I want to say, Cliff Lee pitching for the Phillies against, I think it was the Yankees, I think. Or maybe it was earlier on in the playoffs before they got there, but Lee was up there pitching, and he threw a pitch, and whoever was up at bat popped it right to him. And Lee barely even had to open his glove to catch it. He just stood there. He stood right in place, and the ball, like, landed in his glove without him moving. And I remember thinking, wow, that was cool. He looked cool as hell doing that. But that wasn't nearly as cool tonight when Rafaela popped out to Cruz. That was just weak. You know, the caller's right. It looked like he had no idea how to bunt. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to lay it down. And these are things you got to know, especially when you're hitting 200 for the last 2 months, all right? Sidan Rafaela, when he was in that horrible slump that lasted for, 8 weeks, that's when you start figuring out other ways to get on base, to use your speed, and to try and get the defense on its heels. Try bunting then. You know, try and lay a few of those down in case you ever find yourself in a situation like this in the playoffs with first and second, nobody out, and you haven't been hitting the ball well, which he hasn't, and maybe you could be able to lay one down, but he couldn't. He had no chance out there. No chance. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's hear from Brian Bayo. He spoke with his interpreter. Here's what he had to say about his very short start tonight.
Bueno, nada, me mantuve tratando de sacarlo out, atacar los bateadores, eso.
Yeah, just trying to stay aggressive, and that was a game plan, and yeah.
You surprised that you came out so early?
Se te sorprendió que salieras, ¿no?
Un poco.
Yeah, a little bit.
Alex said it was a tough decision for him to make. What did he tell you on the mound?
Que le dijo que había sido una decisión difícil de hacer, que dijo en el montículo.
No me dijo nada. Le entregué la pelota y salí.
Nothing. Just gave him the ball and.
What is your understanding of why he took you out at that point?
¿Qué fue que crees tú que él te sacó en ese momento?
Bueno, quizás son juegos importantes, viniendo bateadores zurdos y tomó la decisión.
Yeah, very important game. Two lefties coming up, and he made the decision.
Did you have any talk with him or Bailey or anybody before the game about that strategy?
Que si tuviste alguna charla con él o con Bailey antes del juego sobre esa estrategia.
No.
Did you feel like your stuff was down?
Que si tú pensaste que tu cosa estaba bajo, o sea que estaban poquito, o sea que tus picheos estaban un poquito no tan así como antes.
No, me sentí bien con mi picheo, mi cambio, mi core, mi slider, mi sinker, mi fulsim.
Yeah, I felt good with all my pitches.
How disappointed are you that you didn't get the chance to pitch more innings into this game?
Que tan decepcionado estás que no tuviste la oportunidad de pichar más innings el día de hoy.
No me siento decepcionado de mí. Traté de hacer mi trabajo y tomo la decisión de sacarme, pues pasó lo que pasó.
How do you feel about game three? Oh, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I don't feel disappointed about myself. I felt like I tried to do my job, and he made the decision to take me out.
Sorry about that. Just a thought on game three. All hands on deck. Everybody helping out try to win that game.
¿Qué piensas del juego 3? ¿Todo el mundo disponible? O sea, ¿qué piensas sobre eso?
Nada, misma energía, ganar, salir a ganar mañana, competir y ganar el juego ya.
Right. Yes, come on, guys. Let's calm down, all right? Thank you. Aquí,
para. Nada, salir a ganar, salir a competir mañana y ganar el juego 3.
Yes, yeah, same energy, go out there, compete, try to win the game and go from there.
All right, Brian Baio trying to calm everybody down there at the end. I thought that was interesting. Everybody just relax. Be easier to relax if you were moving on to the next round, if you had given him more than 2 1/3. Him to say he felt good and that all his pitches felt good, that's terrifying if that's true. I don't believe him. I don't think he felt good or that all his pitches felt good at all. But if they did, then that's scary. Because if that's him feeling good, I'd hate to see what it's like when he's not feeling his best. I'd hate to see what it's like when he doesn't have his good stuff. Because if that was his good stuff, that's brutal. So I'm just choosing not to believe him, I guess. That's the choice I'm making tonight. 617-779-7937. I now choose to go to break. We'll come back, get to the rest of your phone calls, then I'm going to step aside. Joe Weil's going to take over for the 11 to 12 o'clock hour. That's all coming up next here on Red Sox Review. He sure did look uncomfortable there. Not something he'd been doing much this year. Was a nice bunt drop down earlier on in the game. But not there. Certainly not there. Nick Sogard in the third inning had a very nice sack bunt that ended up being a single because Rodon threw the ball away. And it wasn't a single, but he reached on an error with loading the bases for Rob Refsnyder, who has not been good these two games. He was looking real bad out there, giving away a bunch of at-bats. And Trevor Story, thank God, came through with the two-run single, but it wasn't enough. Red Sox lose 4-3, and they will have to play a deciding Game 3 tomorrow night. Two thrillers of games, though. I'll give them now. At the very least, you can say that these two teams have been going out there and giving you entertainment here for the last 48 hours, and I've been trying to do that as well. And I'm very much entertaining people named Mike tonight because I'm looking at the call screener. There are four Mikes on the line right now. Should we just spin the wheel of Mikes? What do you say there, Thomas? Let's go with Mike O'Brien. I know him. Mike O'Brien, what's up?
Christian, thank you so much for picking the most entertaining mic.
We'll see about
that. Yeah, we'll see. Well, I have been walking around drinking Bud Light, so we'll find out how this works out.
Attaboy.
But first of all, Chisholm is like the worst. He's my new most hated player in sports. Like, he makes an amazing play like that and then just throws it. He does that all the time. Like,
spikes
he makes the worst plays ever. The guy, they should be known that if he makes a play like that, run, because he's going to throw it into the bleachers. He's going to throw it somewhere. Like, he just does the dumbest possible thing at all times. And he just froze at third base. Like, just keep running. Like, that guy was not going to throw you out at home. That was not going to happen. Also, I'm on the early train. Tomorrow, let him pitch as long as possible. Throw his arm out tomorrow. That dude is going to shut the Yankees down tomorrow. You've heard it here first. But they're going to take him out in like the fourth or fifth inning, and it's going to be the dumbest decision ever. You let him go the entire time. Until he like really gets messed up, then take him out. Like,
okay.
Until then, let him roll. Let him roll tomorrow. Early's going to kill it tomorrow.
All right, thanks for the call, Obi. Always good to hear from you. It's Mike O'Brien. You can catch him on stage at various places around the city. Hilarious, dude. And he's right about Chisholm. Chisholm is becoming a bit of a villain, isn't he? He does have that attitude. He does have some attitude. That's one thing that this Red Sox-Yankee rivalry in our year of our Lord 2025 is missing, is people with, you know, attitude, and not just attitude, because there's guys in the Red Sox with attitude. Like, Jaren Duran's got attitude. Guys have attitude. But Jaren Duran's attitude is all very focused inward, you know? He's not, I don't get the sense that there's a whole lot of animosity between the Red Sox and the Yankees this year, except for Jazz Chisholm. Jazz Chisholm strikes me as a guy who doesn't like the Red Sox. And he doesn't like the fact that, you know, the Red Sox, he's playing the Red Sox and that the Red Sox have a chance to beat his Yankee and all that. I get the sense that he's bought into that aspect of the rivalry 10 toes in. And I respect that. I do respect and appreciate that because I think the Red Sox-Yankee rivalry is better when there's more people out there with the attitude of a Jazz Chisholm. That being said, he is a bit of an a-hole, and they should have run, and they should have got home. But you listen to Nate Eaton, wasn't his fault. Hey, you know, I couldn't see the ball. I was sliding in the third. I got the stop sign, so I stopped. That's what he said. Kyle Hudson's probably somewhere like, hey, thanks, buddy. Thanks a lot. Let's try another Mike. How about Mike in Connecticut? Go ahead, Mike.
Mike.
Hi, Christian.
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Let me tell you something. As bad as Bayo was, they so should have won that game, Christian.
You're right.
The Rams got to catch that ball. I mean, how he dropped it is unbelievable. And Rafael, after that first bunt attempt, he should have took the bunt off. I mean, I don't know why he did it. And what I want to get your opinion on is obviously Eaton should have kept running. I don't want to hear that the third base coach stopped him. He's been playing baseball long enough to make the guy try to make a play and throw him out. But after Whitlock, who was pitching very well, walked Chisholm, he should have brought Chapman in to pitch the Wells. That's the only thing I can really blame Cora for tonight. Otherwise, I thought he managed a good game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I thought he was doing okay up until that point as well. Thanks for the call. Whitlock was out of gas for sure. I don't know if they were planning on saving Chapman or what the deal was there. They didn't want him to have another four-out save potential. I don't know. I mean, you have to ask him. I think they were trying to avoid another four-out save for Chapman. And it wouldn't have been a save even, really, unless they had scored a run in the top of the ninth, which they didn't. So, you know, it would be a four-out that's whatever it ended up being. It wouldn't have been a save situation, and I think they just weren't comfortable having him out there throwing a bunch of pitches indefinitely with a potential another game to play tomorrow. And you want to have your closer ready for game three. You'd like to have your main setup guy ready for game three as well, but that's just not going to be the case, and they're all going to have to deal with it. By the way, Red Sox Review is brought to you by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you. Nissan has an exciting full line that will put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. Let's take a break from all the mics and go to David in Florida. Hey, David.
Hello, Arkan.
Hello, David.
Hold on. Shoot. I'm coming.
All right, Dave.
There we go.
You need
I got three things for you.
All right, huh? No,
go ahead. I'm good.
Go ahead with the three things.
I got three things for you.
Yes.
Number one, I think you're going to see Yoshida tomorrow in the lineup.
Absolutely. Absolutely you are.
Yeah.
Because you're facing a right. Schlittler's a righty. The pride of Walpole High, by the way, is going to be out there for New York. A right-handed pitcher. You'll see Duran. You'll see Abreu. You'll see Yoshida for sure.
Yeah. Now, number two, I didn't like the bunt by Rafaela tonight. That was
very stupid, like you were saying.
Bad bunt, yes.
And, yeah. And I thought they could have left Justin Wilson in another inning too, because he was the only one. He's the only potential long reliever they have on the team, and I thought they could have left him in a little longer. I liked it that he pulled Bayo very early because Bayo is horrible, but he could have left Justin Wilson in and not dried up the bullpen so quickly, because now who are you gonna? I mean, now they're gonna be all dead tired for tomorrow night. So,
maybe. I'm not sure about that. David, thanks for the call. We're almost to the end here, so I'm going to let you go. But Wilson pitched an inning in two-thirds, only threw 23 pitches. Slayton only threw 18 pitches. Matt's threw 24 pitches. You may not see him, but I think you probably will. Zach Kelly only threw 6. Peyton Tolley only threw 7. So I think those guys should all be available tomorrow. I think they should be. Maybe not Whitlock with his 47 pitches. Fine, not him. But everybody else, I think, should be ready and able to go tomorrow. Absolutely, if need be. And Wilson, I don't know if I wanted him going more than two innings. He went an inning and two-thirds. If he had gone much longer than that, I probably would have started to get uncomfortable, ready to bring in a guy like Slayton or someone like Matz or Kelly or whoever. That ended up working out okay. I thought that he looked good. And, yeah, should he have pitched a little bit more? I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure that would have made all the difference in the world. But, you know, the rest of the bullpen outside of Whitlock at the end there and early on with Slayton, I thought was pretty good. Yeah, bullpen. I don't have a whole lot of criticism for. It's mostly tonight for some of the same old crap. I mean, really, with the Red Sox, when they lose games, this is how they lose them. Their starter doesn't go deep in the games. They have bad fielding play, which they did. They have bad base running, which they did, and they have poor situational hitting. All four of those things happened tonight, and that was unfortunate. It was really unfortunate to see, because I thought that if you could put those things behind you for at least one more night, you get to the Blue Jays. You know, you're going to have to patch it together at the back end of that rotation, and we're already going to see right now what that looks like starting tomorrow with Connolly early and then question mark afterwards. And I'll be frank with you folks. I am petrified. I have no idea what this is going to look like. I really don't. I think they can hit Schlittler. I thought they'd be able to hit Rodon tonight, and they couldn't. So I don't really know. I'm leaving it up to the gods. I may not even bet on this game tomorrow night. That's a lie. I probably will. But that's all the time I have here on Red Sox Review. If you are on hold, stay on the line. Do not hang up. Stay on the line because while I'm leaving, Joe Weil's coming on to pitch the ninth. He'll be with you until 12 o'clock, and he'll be taking your phone calls as well at 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review rolls on with Joe Weil. I'm Christian Arcan. I'll be back tomorrow. Don't know exactly when I'll be talking with you, either at 5:08 or at 6:08 for a short show. It looks like the Dodgers now are up 7-2 over the Reds, so they're probably going to hold on and win. And if they do, then that means an 8:08 show, 8:08 pre or first pitch tomorrow with a 7 o'clock pregame show, which means I'll have the Christian Arcan show from 6 to 7, then pregame from 7 to 8. As I work out my schedule here live on the air, that is what it's going to look like for me tomorrow night, assuming the Dodgers hold on and the Reds don't make some crazy big comeback right here, the fighting Titos. I don't think they're going to. Anyway, stick around for Joe Weil. He's with you for the next hour. Phone number for him, 617-779-7937. I'll be talking to you tomorrow, most likely at 6 o'clock, right here on your home for Red Sox baseball, WEEI. Good night now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.